Jim, Motivation Central Station. Hey, back on the front porch, just relaxing, chilling. It's a very warm day, but this might be the last afternoon here for the next 3-4 days that I can even get out on my front porch. Can't wait to share with you a couple of things today. I got a really good show, I think, put together for you. We're going to talk about Nate Bargatze and how his career might have never happened. We're going to get to Chris Farley, Robin Williams, and some really cool stuff has been going on. I just got back from Eagle River, Wisconsin, and it's a national forest up there. And if you've never been there, it's definitely a bucket list type item. If you've never been in like real deep, dark forest. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of green space, a lot of places to hang out. It's really known for, it has 28 lakes that are chained together. And as far as I know, I would imagine it's the only place in the world you can do that. And it's so crazy cool when you're flying down the freeway. Well, not flying. I might be flying. You'll be driving the way you're supposed to. As you go through, you take a right turn, you see a lake on your right, you go to the left, see fishermen, people riding boats, people riding jet skis, just an awesome, wonderful place. We've got to spend some time working up there in the day business and doing some physical labor on some houses. You know, I like to get dirty and rough during the day and do comedy stuff at night. And so my son was up there helping me with some of that and brought his two wonderful girls with him and his lovely fiance. And so they are in the super nice cabin too. They got a friend up there. I just kind of flopped in some motel rooms. And but it was great. And I got to put my granddaughter on her first pony ride ever. What a great moment. I can't think of the ranch now, but if you get there, it's like right next to, they have world snowmobiling derbies there. Very cool track. I actually got to go there one time in another professional life and cover some racing that was going on there. But people come from all over the world for that one. And but that stable is, you know, just to the north, not too far. I mean, we're talking quarter mile or something. And these horses, you could tell. I mean, this place, these horses were being cared for so well. They must have had 40 horses in the stable. And then they had Carney, kind of a smaller, older horse for the kids to, you know, take a pony ride. So my granddaughter Harper was able to do that, and it was just fantastic. So the other thing I wanted to jump on right away is perfection. You know, so I was up in my motel room, and all of a sudden I'm scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or something, and all of a sudden, you know, I read this quote about, you know, yeah, you know, strive for perfection, and you know, and I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then all of a sudden I'm flipping through channels on the TV there, and all of a sudden a preacher came on and he's like, yeah, we gotta strive for perfection. I'm like, yeah, you know. And then as I walked away, got in my truck and started traveling, I don't know where I was going, but I'm like, you know what, I tried that before. That's very, you know, very taxing to put that much pressure on yourself. You know, and in the end of the day, your perfection, somebody else's perfection, are probably two different things. But I'd rather see you, instead of striving for that, I'd personally like to see you and I to just try to, you know, relax a little bit more, you know, just kind of go with the flow. Like when I was up in those woods, you know, if I'm working all the time, I'm not going to see the beautiful stuff I've seen up there, just wonderful experiences. Saw cranes, the very large birds that used to be extinct almost. Got down to like 100 in the population, and Wisconsin put together a program, and now these things are thriving in our state again. Saw wild turkeys. My son, I was following him into town with my granddaughter, and he had to stop, and you know, all of a sudden I looked up and there were two deer that were going to cross the road. And so the traffic was just backing up behind us. And all of a sudden, it must have been a local guy coming from the other direction. And he yelled at the deer. He's like, get out of the road. And they just took off running. So I guess we're still kind of more city folk than rural woods people. But did the trick. So, you know, if I'm working and just doing that all day. Matter of fact, I just did some heavy, heavy work. And now it's time to relax, folks. I usually, you know, try to do really hard physical stuff in the morning. And if I don't do that, if I don't have that stuff to do work-wise or around my home, today it was around my home, then I'll hit the gym. But in the middle of the afternoon, it's me time for a couple hours. Benjamin Franklin talked about, you know, like, you are a true man, and I'm sure in today's world we would say you're a true man or a true woman who takes that time for yourself and gets a nap in that. And he was kind of did it for, and I kind of do it the same way. Is so now I'll go lay down and I start transitioning into my work I do at night, comedy classes. Promoting and putting on comedy shows and so to slow down. But he would do it, Ben Franklin would do it, to impress people in his day. So they were all working the late hours of the afternoon. He was resting. And he said he in his autobiography, he would want the passersby, the other people in the community, because they didn't have credit bureaus back in those days. He wanted them to see him working late. And so he said it opened up a lot of doors as far as early in his life, you know, being able to borrow from people and, you know, quite the strategy. But, you know, the whole thing is to slow down, I think. As being a grandfather, I get a lot of stress on my body. And if you're aging too, it takes a lot of stress, takes a lot of pain out of my body, slows my head down. And so if you can afford to do that, I get it. A lot of people work 9 to 5, but maybe you can work a lunch break, you know, around an activity like that where you can slow down. But anyways, you know, I mentioned Robin Williams and Chris Farley and those guys. I got triggered. This was kind of crazy too. I was coming back and it's a 4-hour ride from Milwaukee, Wisconsin up to Eagle River, Wisconsin. And so it's a 4-hour ride back. And so I get to a town named Oshkosh, and they might make the Oshkosh Bagosh jeans there. I'd imagine they do. I don't know if they don't, but either way. So when I was younger, my brother had bone cancer. He was 16 and I was, he was 15. I was about 12 when he first got the bone cancer. And my dad bought him a new car to go to school with. And it was a 73 Dodge Charger. And my brother, you know, that year he ended up getting a leg amputated. And because they didn't, you know, they didn't have the, nowadays a lot of these people, you know, survive. And so he had to get a leg amputated at 15 and go to school with chemo and put a wig on. And it was hard for him to go to school to begin with. because he was very shy, and you know, and so anyways, my dad buys him this car, and so I'm driving back late at night. You know, it's just you know, me and a few cars on this road, and I pull up on the back of this car because I'm one of my issues is driving on a wee bit too fast. And so I'm working on it, people. I am really improving. Trust me, trust me, trust me. So anyways, I get up on the back of this car a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, I think that's a Charger, you know, a 71, 2, 3, 4 Charger. They all had the same body style. And so I'm like, I'm going to go around this car. And sure enough, it was, looked like the 73 that my brother had. I couldn't tell you for sure if it wasn't one of the 71, 72, 73, or 1974 body style. But it set a lot of triggers in motion because my dad was going to trade that car in. And I was like, no, you know, don't do that. That's like the only physical thing I have that really reminds me of him, and I want to keep it with me. Well, at a young age, I was in the grips of my addiction, alcoholism, smoking, whatever, pretty much. And then also, you know, in those days, I just wanted to black out after going through all this stuff that my brother had to go through and watching that, for lack of better words, train crash of a young person having to go through such horrible things at the end of life. It's very gruesome what happens to somebody that has cancer. I don't want to go into all the details of that, but, you know, so it started triggering back because my dad did not trade the car in. He ended up selling it to me, and so I own the car for 24 hours. So my dad sells it to me on a Friday on March 16th. Not sure on the year, but I suppose we could go back on the dates of the calendar and kind of figure it out. But it was a March 16th on a Friday night when I bought the car. And then my dad, oh, it's a long story, but anyways, I wasn't the type of kid to always run out and do what I should have did. And but he said, make sure you get insurance on the car, which I did. By God's grace, I went and got insurance. So my friends back in those days are like, hey, let's go up to Oshkosh tonight because we are going to party all night, because they keep the bars open, and we were in that late high school. I think we just graduated high school and had friends in college up in Oshkosh, and they're like, let's go up and see some of those folks and let's party all night. And so we get up there, and about midnight, and by 12:30 we find out that things are closing down. And my friends are like, well, let's go back to Milwaukee. And because they keep the bars open at 3:30, and so we started heading back on a very cool night, March night, here in Wisconsin. And once we got the heat on in the car, those guys quickly fell asleep. And then I thought, well, you know, I will close my eyes for a minute. And then I thought, oh, that felt good. I'm going to do it again. And then I'll just, and then I probably never woke up again. And so I had a car crash where the road went, it turned, veered to the left, and we just went straight. We went down this embankment and hit a bunch of trees. And by God's grace, that nobody got killed. We did get injured. But by seeing that Charger, and then of all places to see it in Oshkosh, where we were just prior to this horrific car crash, you know, triggered a lot of events. And it made me realize, too, and, you know, which is going to lead me into the car crashes of, like, Chris Farley and Robin Williams, and, you know, just the perceived outlook is, you know, I know so many comedians, and so many of us look at their outside existence like, oh my God, Chris Farley's on Saturday Night Live, you know, it's got money to burn, and Robin Williams saying same kind of thing, but in the end, you know, Chris's disease got a hold of him. I have a disease I have to manage every day. If you know anybody in your family, which we, it's highly unlikely you don't know somebody in your family, but if you don't, I'm sure you know a friend that struggles with addiction and alcoholism. And so, you know, just know that it's a lifelong disease. And a couple of people in my family have, you know, slowed down on their drinking, but they were drinking at very alcoholic levels. And for a refresher for some of you, again, I haven't podcasted for a while, is I do have a couple of licenses in the state of Wisconsin for substance abuse and mental health. And so the disease keeps growing. So if your friend at 22 years of age quit drinking, the disease keeps going, like he's still active. So he gets to 32, 42, and he picks up and starts using drugs and alcohol again. He's going to go right back to where he was very quickly, within days. And then he's going to get worse, you know. So it's critical. But, you know, that car accident, or seeing that car Saturday night in Oshkosh, really triggered just a slew of how I've had the disease back then. I have it now. I'll always have it. It reminded me for my comedy friends that, you know, all the glitter is not gold. And, you know, you look at like Robin Williams too, and just how, you know, depressed he was and how things can fall apart on you. So now to the Nate Bargatze story. And Nate was a comedy student of mine. Got to see Nate this summer in Nashville as he set the Bridgestone Arena record for the most people to ever come to any type of event in the stadium. And I believe it was 19,365 people that were there. And then we were going to meet up after that show, but he had so many people that wanted to see him there because he's from Nashville, and well, near Nashville in Tennessee. And so I just gave him a note to let him know that we'd just catch up in Milwaukee a few weeks later. And so Nate performed at the Riverside Theater here in Milwaukee, put on an awesome show as always. And that's why he's the professional he is. You know, he's so consistent and just wonderful stories. And I always say, you know, to my other comedian friends, like, we're trying to change the world, and we're trying to talk about, you know, fixing climate change and, you know, better race relationships and, you know, building back the economy. And Nate's talking about putting new doors on the front of his house, or, you know, just real simple stuff. And it's so great because it's just him, and it's, you know, it's who he is. However, he might have not happened, and I didn't get a chance to tell him this, but I finally learned, because one of the big things when people attend the comedy college, the stand-up school that I had started like 24 odd years ago, they'll always remember where they seen the flyer or the Facebook post, or, you know, wherever they saw the advertisement for the class. And Nate couldn't remember. And so we were backstage and in Milwaukee, and we were chit-chatting, and my family got to be there and got to hang out with Nate, and it was pretty relaxed atmosphere. And I said, hey, Nate, there's just one thing that's always kind of bothered me, and that is, that everybody knows, you know, kind of where they learned about the class. And he goes, oh, no, I remember. It was the Reader newspaper, and the Reader in Chicago is huge. Anybody from Chicago knows what the Reader is, but it's like Chicago-oriented. They're going to list a lot of plays happening, a lot of comedy shows, stand-up improv comedy shows. They're going to talk about other type of art forms. And sorry about the loud car. Out on my porch, very loud car came by. But anyway, so I'm sure your town has a newspaper just like it by another name. And so he said, no, I saw it in the Reader, you know. And so I haven't got to talk to him because the thought really didn't hit me. So I'm kind of breaking this to you guys first. Like, there's a good chance Nate might have never existed, you know, because I only bought like two or three ads in the Reader ever. And I found them to be very, you know, non-effective, ineffective, not sure the right verbiage there, but I will tell you this, I didn't buy many ads, so he's pretty lucky that he picked up that paper, because who knows, right? We don't know what would happen. You know, everything in my world's kind of, you know, synchronicity, you know, everything's kind of connected for a reason type thing. So anyway, it's great spending time with you on here. I hope you take away something today from the podcast. You know, my whole idea behind this is leaving a trail of breadcrumbs for my grandkids to come back and learn about some of the things, good and not so good, like that Dodge Charger story. Anybody out there struggling with any type of addiction, mental health issue, there is no shame. You know, it is a great time to get help for yourself. And the time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's now. You hang up from this podcast and you go get help, and you will find a fantastic world. It's been just amazing. So thanks for hanging out with Grandpa Jim today. And it's always a pleasure being with you. So be positive. Keep a smile on your face. Like I always like to say, if you have nothing to give, you can always give a smile. Have a wonderful, awesome, fantastic day.